Welcome back to Podcast Recovery, everyone. We're your host, David O.
I'm not a host. We've been over this, dude. Like, I'm the producer.
Well,
like,
when there's not a second crazy. When there's not a second co-host, like, you're a host.
I mean, kinda. Like, I mean, I'm gonna, you know, say my piece and, you know, ask my questions, but I'm still the producer.
God damn it. You know? He wears many hats, Eric V. Today we're joined by our very special guest, Alex. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. You know.
It's early for you. Yeah, your brain's not working yet.
I do the midnight.
Chug that full throttle, man.
Wait, you're doing the midnight?
Yeah, I run the midnight, man.
Oh my god, you're like David.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. This guy ran the midnight for 2 years over here.
I did. Indeed. So where are you from?
I'm from Ellicott City.
Okay. Where'd you go to
what
high school?
Part?
Howard.
Oh, you went to Howard?
Yeah.
I went to Oakland.
You went to Oakland Mills. Yep. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Indeed. When were you first introduced to recovery?
Like rehabs or like
your first introduction to the scope of recovery,
like, whatever it is, like it could be counseling, IOP, like fellowship, man.
And it went, when I was 17 in 2016, I went to Mount Manor in Baltimore City.
I've been there.
Ooh, Irvington?
Yeah.
Wait, what year was that?
Yeah.
You were in that unit? Dude, that unit sucks.
Yeah. I brought H&I meetings in there.
I know,
for a while.
Me too. And then I was like, fuck these kids.
I might have seen you.
It was, I mean, I was only there for like, it was like September 2016 when I was 17. And yeah, that place was.
Oh my God, I definitely was.
You definitely shared there.
Well, no, that was my H&I commitment at that time.
I hate
so
it.
So I might have seen you, dude.
Maybe. I mean, I was only there for like 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Did you do an AMA? You bailed earlier?
I mean, like, they told me I could go. Like, you can go, dude.
You're done. We're done with you.
I just like kept freaking out. I was just freaking out. Every time my parents came to visit, I just like begged them to take me out. And like after like 2.5 weeks, they're finally like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, sending a kid from Ellicott City into Irvington, not cool.
A lot of people, dude, like that Mount Manor has a kid.
Yeah, oh yeah, it shuffles them in and out. And how long have you been clean, man?
Two years now, man.
Woo!
Yeah.
Just celebrated on the 10th, man. Congratulations.
Got black key tag.
Hell
yes,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
And with all that out of the way, I'm going to turn it over to you to share your story with us, so take it away.
Okay. Hi, I'm Alex, and I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Hi, Alex.
Story.
You were born at an early age.
Yeah, I was born when I was, right before I turned one, about a year.
There you go.
And, I knew I was an addict from the minute I was born, dude. I knew it.
I just wanted that tit so bad.
You know... I've been saying a lot about the story part for a little bit. I'm trying to think of like what I haven't said, because there's like a lot. Like, I didn't really tell my story at all for like the first like 2 years this time around, like the first, like until like recently. And I still don't even really like go about like the story part like before I got clean, because
that's the juice, man. I want to hear that.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's see.
So you're in Ellicott City.
Yeah, Ellicott City, man. I guess, like, I was really, like, anti-drug, like, before I started doing drugs, like...
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, like, I was super...
We were good Howard County kids, man.
I don't get that vibe from you, bro.
Because, like. Yeah, I don't know. I was a sports guy before, you know. I was, like, a big, like...
Playing, like, some lax and, like, soccer, like...
Football and baseball, man.
Okay, yeah. What, were you a safety? What was your position?
I was a quarterback.
Quarterback?
Nice. Yeah.
Were you a pitcher or?
Yeah, I was a pitcher.
Oh man, so you're like a fucking high school king or whatever, man.
Well, not like see, I started doing drugs by the time I got into high school.
Okay, so
at that point, it was over.
Yeah.
That part was over at that point, because yeah, like that was. I guess you could say that's a pivotal period, like, because I remember. Because I went to, like, Ellicott Mills Middle School. I don't know if you know where that is, but...
Yep.
Pretty much, like, all my closest friends they were either going to Mount Hebron High School or Centennial High School.
Mm-hmm.
So Howard's in Ellicott City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have
yeah.
three high schools in Ellicott City?
They have, yeah, I think it's Howard's just technically in Columbia.
I mean, Ellicott City is not effing huge.
Really?
Nope, it's on the other side of 108.
Like, huh, okay.
Yeah, the 108 is the divider. So Thunder Hill is Columbia, but then as soon as you cross over 108, that's Ellicott City.
Oh, well,
Ellicott
shit.
City's mm-hmm. huge. I'm just, like, baffled.
Yeah,
like,
so, yeah, I think it's just three. I think it's Howard, Howard, Centennial, and
Hebron.
And Hebron, yeah, because
Marriottsville's in Marriottsville.
Marriottsville and Marriottsville. Reservoir is in
Maple Lawn.
River Hills in Clarksville. And then everything else is in either Columbia or Elkridge.
Trying to think. I feel like I'm still trying to think. Like, I feel like
they're building a new high school in Laurel, though. Laurel's gonna have a HOCO high school.
Yeah, Jessup, man.
Yeah.
Hanover Hills or something like that. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, back to it.
Yeah. I mean,
you're an anti-drugs sports prodigy.
Yeah, me and my closest friend at the time, who we both ended up being huge addicts, he's not in recovery, but, like, he's making it work, I guess. I don't know. He's hooked on Kratom and whatever.
Okay.
But he, I don't know. He slowed things down, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Kratom's better than dope, man.
It is better than dope.
Yep.
Well, I mean,
definitely better than dope.
Yeah. Kratom's not going to kill you.
Safer than dope.
Way safer.
Yes, way safer.
That is scary.
But, like, yeah, I was, like, super, because all my friends, like, would always talk about how they wanted to smoke weed. Like, we were, like, skateboarder dudes. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's what me and my group of friends, we were, like,
yeah,
that's the vibe boys. I'm getting from you, yes.
Weed and skateboards is peas and carrots, man.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I was, like, super, like, yeah. Like, there was, like, a video of me and my friend, like, that we recorded on, like, an iPod Touch or something as we were walking to 7-Eleven. Because that's what we did every day. We just, like, after school, walked to 7-Eleven. And, yeah, we were, like, telling our future selves, like, yeah, man, don't do drugs. Like, you can't do drugs. Drugs are bad. Like, weed's bad. Never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know if, like, I knew there was some sort of thing that I don't know. It just scared the ever-living shit out of me, I guess. Like, the thought of it, like, and I don't know. Like, it really, like, freaked me out. And, but, yeah, so I was the very last of all my friends to ever, like, start smoking weed. I remember, like, when we went to high school, that's when everybody, like, started. Like, that became the thing we were doing. And I, like, wouldn't smoke weed. And I remember my one friend who is, like, also anti-drug, like, he's the one who turned over first. Like, he was, like, he got, like, super amped up about it. He was like, yeah, I need to press the button. Like, we're going to go over.
I need to press the button.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, oh, man. No, man. Like, I'm not going to do it.
Because, and, like, it's actually a quick switch. Because when you're mentally obsessing about not doing it, it still means that you're mentally obsessing about it. So switching to the other side of that, like, debate in your head is actually pretty easy because the obsession has already taken hold.
Yeah, man. True that. And, yeah, like, so I for me, you know, New Year's freshman year of high school was when I first smoked weed, man. and, like, all my other friends had already been doing it, and, like, I was just, like, the last one
taking a stand.
And I didn't, you know, it was a slow progression, man, for me. Like, before, like, I'd say I became, like, a non-functional addict, you know? I mean, I definitely, it took me, like, a year of, like, smoking weed here and there and, like, partying a lot in high school because, like, yeah, when I went to high school, I mean, I don't know, me and my friends quickly became, like a center attraction sort of thing to, like, all the people in Howard County, and we partied a lot.
Did you enjoy high school?
I enjoyed high school.
So did
a
I.
Lot. Yeah.
So did I.
It was dude, a good time.
Do you remember that? I think it was at Eli's anniversary. That super young kid who was in the back, and he shared. He was like, Okay, so we all agreed that high school sucks.
High school sucks.
Then the room just got just quiet. You could hear crickets, and I was like, dude, you have no idea. It's so much better than paying bills and doing shit.
Yeah, dude, I miss high school. Like, when I think about, like, so many times when I knew I had to get my shit together, I would think about high school, and, like, that's why I wouldn't get my shit together, because I was like, yeah, shit's never going to get as good as it was then.
No,
like,
14 to 18.
I'm never going
to
get that shit
You
back.
Have enough wits about you. Some of you have cars. Like, you have a lot of freedom and time and very little responsibilities. You're a borderline adult. It was, and dude, you just fucking partied.
Yeah.
You just fucking partied. So anyway, you guys are the scene kids on at the parties.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But we weren't douchebags either. Like, mm-hmm. it was pretty cool. Like, cause I took great pride in not being a fucking douche. Like, they're like a lot of, like, we hung out with like a lot of people who are like the it people of their schools, but mm-hmm. they were just like your typical fucking
Laxo, you know, bros.
Yeah. Yep. Like, and yep. And me and my friends, we were like, and we're in skater people.
Sperry's and Vineyard Vines fucking polos. Yep. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And like, Yeah, you know. Like,
no offense to anybody out there who likes those things, but also, you look like a douche. You look like Don Johnson in the 1980s, it's not cool. Wasn't cool then.
You don't like Sperry's?
Dude, fuck Sperry's.
You're not going on boats?
We're not getting into this, Eric.
Why aren't you going on a boat, man?
I love boats, but I don't like...
Then you put your fucking Sperry's on.
Dude, fuck you, Eric. Fuck you, rich. Rich son of a bitch.
All
right.
All the Anne Arundel County kids, man. The boat people, man.
Yeah. Hashtag salt life. Fuck you. Anyway.
The first year was just like, it was normal. Yep. It was fun, and I didn't like, but I remember, like, I started smoking weed by myself, mm-hmm. you know, like sophomore year of high school. And I remember, like, the way, like, I remember picking up on that. Then I was doing that, and I was like, yeah, it's fine as long as you don't start smoking weed every day. Mm-hmm. But I definitely, like, one of the things I liked about it was, like, oh, this I feel intelligent. Like, I feel yes. like I'm able to get some, like, perspective
here. I'm so much more
here.
Creative.
Because, like, you know, like, I feel like I always, like, I don't know. One of my biggest insecurities was, like, my intelligence and stuff. And like, one of the biggest ways how I, like, made friends and whatnot was, like, you know, just being a platform, like finding out what they thought was funny and just like being that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was very good at that. And I became a complete like just pothead that year. You know, I remember like from like fall and winter transition over to spring, like by spring it was like full time, like, yep. We give up. We're smoking weed every day. Like, this is just what it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it definitely changed me. I remember, like, I didn't like how it made me depressed, like, because I noticed that. It made me a lot conscious of a lot of, like, the horrible things that were going on, mm-hmm. like, in my life. And I was very, like, yeah, I didn't like the way that made me feel. But mm-hmm. I still thought that like it made me more like I don't know
cerebral
yeah I guess yeah
mm-hmm.
yeah and yeah so like and life was still really good. I started dating this girl, like, and she was like my high school sweetheart or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still very much a party dude, but like, you know, I was a good dude. Like, I remember like I like made out with some girl at a concert when we were just talking, and like it like freaked her the fuck out, and like she like was so upset about it, and I like never cheated on a girl ever again after that because of like, yeah, how much that like I was like, yeah, this is horrible, you can't ever do that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I stuck by that. So like, yeah, you know, shit got really fucking insane, like you know, my junior year or whatever of high school, because grades were always a thing with me. I got really good grades, like all A's mm-hmm. and B's or whatever, but my dad was like, yeah, you need to fucking... He was always telling me how I have, like, the potential to get, like, all A's.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
And, like, and I don't know, you always thought I needed to go on
Adderall. It's the most backhanded compliment ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have potential, so you're telling me I'm failing.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool.
And
So you said you needed to be on Adderall?
My dad always thought that I had ADHD and I needed to be on Adderall, mm-hmm. which, like, you know, if you knew me or saw me anywhere, you were like, no, like, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. no, not at all. Like, that does not make sense. Because, he's always been on Adderall. So, like, I guess he just figured I was like him or something. Mm. And, yeah, so, like, I remember my friends prescribed it and, like, I asked to try it one day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what made me want to try it. I guess, like, I just, like, heard a lot of stuff about how it helped you get schoolwork done faster. And, mm-hmm. And yeah, it worked all right. I never felt anything like that. I was like talking to everybody. That was one of the biggest things that I picked up on is like, holy shit, like every day during school, like I feel like I can't socialize. And like I took Adderall and like, holy shit, like I felt like going up and talking to people. And because it was always something I noticed where like I was like during school, I don't feel like myself. And when I leave school, I feel like myself. And
is Adderall a benzo, Eric?
No, it's an amphetamine.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'm sorry.
I hadn't done benzos yet.
I'm sorry.
So
how did you? I'm sorry.
I don't know why I thought it was a benzo. Okay.
No, that was.
I knew it was an upper, but I didn't. I just didn't think it was an amphetamine.
Yeah. I mean, it's like.
And also,
were you taking XR or IR?
What?
I'm asking, were you taking XR or IR?
XR.
Yeah. So like the extended release, I mean, that's normal. I mean, it's when you start doing the IRs where it gets like definitely a little more crazy.
I think it's interesting, like our generation versus your generation, because we're the Ritalin generation.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and I don't think they really prescribe that anymore.
They do not prescribe it.
Not as much as Adderall.
I feel like it's only if your parents like are specific about like Ritalin and they're like,
and Concerta.
You need to get on Ritalin.
It's like younger kids and older adults, like Concerta and mm-hmm. Ritalin.
Okay, so you're doing you're
Adderall's for college.
You're doing Adderall. Don't do that. All right, Adderall.
Yeah, Adderall was when it started. I immediately got a prescription because my dad was like, "Yeah, like if it works, get a prescription." And like, so yeah, we went to the psych family mm-hmm. psych person, and that's definitely where all the mistrust with like medical professionals started because like my parents mm-hmm. talked and looked at this guy like he was like. Such a good psychiatrist. Like, oh yeah, he's so good. And like,
yeah.
he like prescribed, yeah, he immediately prescribed me Adderall. And yeah, after a while, you know, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, and I was like starting to have panic attacks, you know, and I had never experienced panic attacks before, but I started having like crazy panic attacks like pretty frequently where I was just like stressing the fuck out about my schoolwork. Like I was like writing a paper and like, I would be coming down from the Adderall, like I'd be crashing and like, because it was like extended release, so yeah. like it would just like falter, like.
You know? You're mixing it with weed.
Yeah,
were you a drinker at all?
Not really.
Okay.
Like I didn't. I mean, I would a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't really care.
Yeah. You
know, I never thought about like nothing was ever premeditated with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my parents like had to hold me down one night because I was freaking out, and the doctor told them to give me like one of my mom's Klonopins. And I was like screaming at them like, don't give me that shit, like, you know, I was very like,
until they put it in your mouth and it dissolved.
Yeah. I definitely
this is great, dude. I'm sorry.
I definitely knew like that it was fucked up because I had a friend who had gotten addicted already to like Xanax, and like I had been in the car with him driving him around while he'd been like withdrawing. Like,
oh,
and
it was, that's like, dangerous.
Yeah, it was hell to watch. Well, not like he was driving, but I was driving.
No, he would not be driving if he was withdrawing. Like, he is in a ball.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, yeah, man. And like, so I knew what it looked like, I knew it was bad, and like, but like the second like I felt that shit from the Klonopin, and I was like, oh my god, like everything in my life, I was able to like reframe like everything that was going on in my life and that I was stressing out about as of late and be like, oh
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm so relaxed now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to
It's fine, dude. You're tripping, man. Like, it's not a big deal. It's so simple. And, like, yeah, I immediately, like, fell in love with it. I wasn't seeking it out, though, or anything like that.
That's my, like, that's, like, a fucked up thing. Like, my wife kind of has that same sort of thing, right? Like,
yeah.
Her parents just put her on, you know, fucking psych meds. So it's like the Klonopin, the Xanax, like...
I'm kind of glad my parents neglected the shit out of me. They were just like, where's David?
Yeah, dude,
I don't care.
I'm a Purdue statistic over here.
Oh, yeah, so, you are. You should get on a class action lawsuit. You should get some money. Dude.
I should get money.
You should get fucking money. Anyway.
Yeah, it took a while for me to, like, actually start, like, I don't know, I remember, like, because, like, yeah, it became a thing where, like, when I had panic attacks, my parents would just give me Klonopin.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's crazy.
Then eventually, like, yeah, I started seeking it out. I got it prescribed. So, here I am, prescribed, like, Adderall and Klonopin. And, like... Yeah, it was just so not okay.
The cocktail gets bigger.
Yeah, and it hadn't gotten horrible just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, this now here's when I started to do acid.
Here we go.
Yeah, this is, like, junior year of high school.
Yep.
You know, during winter or something like that.
Warp speed, Mr. Sulu.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And, yeah, I fucking, you know, fell in love with that right away. Like, and, yeah, I remember, like, the first two times were great. But then after that, like, I kept on trying to go on all these ventures, and I treated it as if, like, I was smoking weed. Like,
whoa.
Like, I didn't plan.
Whoa, no, man.
I didn't plan out my trips like that, you know? I'd just be like, all right, today sounds like a good day to do acid. Let's do acid.
It's Wednesday.
And like... Yeah, and that shit quickly became, because, like, I got into, like, increasing my dose and seeing, like, oh, yeah, let's see what two tabs are like.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
And, yeah, I quickly saw some dark shit. Like, it became super intense.
Wait, are you on Adderall Klonopin at the same time as you're, like, taking a bunch of acid?
Well, no, I was, like, because the Klonopin was only something I would take when I would have panic attacks.
But you're on the Adderall.
Yeah, I was coming off of the Adderall, like, daily. Like, you know, and it never affected... I never felt anything the first few times I did it, the acid, you know. Huh. Like, because when I... But I would be coming off from it. And I think I, like, could tell when I wasn't, like, you know, feeling it anymore from the Adderall. But, yeah. It was lingering, I guess, you know, if you actually think about it.
Oh, yeah, it's in your system.
Yeah.
It's in the system.
So, yeah, like, I immediately started having some horrific trips, like, couldn't stop doing it. Like, I was like, yeah, like, and also in the midst of this, I'm having all these mental health issues, and I got prescribed, like, every SSRI possible. And, you know, all throughout this junior year, and, you know, did not work.
Oh my god, you're taking acid
shit. And yeah, like,
your brain chemistry, man.
Yeah, man.
I don't know, you know, by the end of doing all the acid, I mean, I was doing it like every weekend or like two times a week. And like by the end of it, like I you know, it took like a whole several months of doing it a bunch of times to like realize, because I kept telling myself, like, you just got to end on a good trip and then you can stop. Like, but that never came.
That's the good cigarette. I like, you know what I mean? Like, this will be my last cigarette. It's gonna taste so fucking good. No, that's not how it works.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
And that never happened. Eventually I just fucking stopped, but by this point I started like taking benzos like way more frequently, because like, yeah, I couldn't enjoy anything else when I wasn't doing it. Like the intensity, I had so many, like, it fucked my brain up so much doing all the acid. Like,
oh yeah,
I had some horrific experiences on that shit, whether they were real or not. I had some horrific experiences.
It was real at the time.
I mean, perception is reality.
Yeah. I mean, there was this one time, I mean, real shit, there was this one time where, like, my mom, like,
you saw lizard people,
suicide.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, it was like some real shit that happened. Cause like my mom, like it's like a big part of like my home life. I was an only child, and like around when I was like 10 or 11. I mean, she always had epilepsy and mental health issues and stuff, but she like took a dramatic turn when around that age, and she became like bedridden and stuff like that. She got like chronic pancreatitis.
Whoa!
But she wasn't like a drinker or anything. She just like got it.
Hmm.
And yeah, she got like, you know, and on top of that, she was like insane. She has borderline personality disorder, and like, you know, they were giving her morphine and all.
So you
all
were kind
of
a pharmaceutical family.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Pretty much. And yeah, she, you know, she made my life fucking hell. I mean, love her to death, but yeah, like she was absolutely insane and would just like go from like telling me, "Oh, you're the best son ever," to like cussing me out and like hitting me and all this crazy shit like on a regular basis. Hmm. And yeah, like, so one time when I was on acid, she, like, tried to kill herself.
Oh, my God.
And
while you're on acid?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
And, like, I don't know. And another pivotal point in my life was, like, yeah, like, my girlfriend at the time, we had been dating for, like, a year or two. And I, like, it was, like, I started to feel like, all right, it's time. Like, I want to move on and, like, you know, it just felt like, yeah, and I told her we needed to go on a break or whatever for me to figure some shit out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like during this time, and I think mainly it was just because I wanted to like see this other girl or something.
Yeah.
But like that never happened because I was doing so much acid. And like,
tale as old as time.
Yeah, I ended up like, yeah, and it's like that shit happened with my mom. And like that day I like called up my girlfriend or whatever, and I was like, yeah, break's over, just pick me up, just pick me up. And like she came and picked me up, and I don't know what the fuck, whether she was just like innocent and like didn't fucking like think about like what was going on. I don't know, she was very like good at compartmentalizing. Like she was like that's just the way she dealt with like all any discomfort, where she just was like completely ignored it. And I feel like, you know, she was able to do that pretty effectively while we were together. Like she just truly didn't know that like I was going through all this shit. And yeah, like I don't know, yeah, that we like got back together because of that. And it's like a period of like a thing I can look at and be like, yeah, like that's the point where like you stopped like looking out for myself. Like I stopped like, I put everybody else's needs in front of my own. And then from that point forward, I was like, yeah, like, it. The only thing that matters is, like, love. Like, the only thing that matters beyond life and death is, like, love and making sure people feel loved and connection and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so I made it, like, my mission to, like, just completely give myself over to everybody in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, yeah, I remember, yeah, I guess, like, junior year ended, I eventually stopped doing acid, and that's when, like, the benzos came full throttle. Like, not only was the prescription with the Klonopin a thing, but, yeah, I was, like, doing, like, you know, buying Xanax and stuff, and I kept getting fake Xanax, you know?
Oh, yes, yes.
Not, like, fentanyl's fake Xanax, yeah. But, like, I kept, like, getting shit that was, like, duds, and I was like, yeah, fuck this shit. And I talked to, like, my good drug dealer, and was like, yeah, man.
Everybody always has the clutch one.
Did you start doing the research chemical benzos?
Oh, that's later. Later.
That shit's wild, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I went down that path.
I went down that path, too. That's, yeah, like, what led me here.
No, it makes sense. I broke off, like, we got, like, these sugar cubes one time, and, like, I just broke out in hives.
The Edazolam, man.
Fucking wild. They, like, I don't know. Some dude in Howard County made it.
Shocker.
So yeah, I'll try to be, yeah, like finish the fucking story, man. Fear and Loathing.
God damn it.
But like fucking
when White Rabbit peaks, man, throw the radio into the bathtub.
You're talking crazy.
I love that he hits him in the face with a fucking grapefruit.
That scene is so great.
Amazing. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Okay. Sorry, you're Benzos. Go.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that's when I went to Mount Manor. Like, by the end of that summer, I, you know, my good drug dealer got me, like, a real, like, Xanax connection. Mm-hmm. Like, I started taking, like, the real-ass pharmaceutical bars, like, a lot, like, every day towards the end of that summer. Like, and... yeah, pretty much, like, and also during this whole time, so I went to Howard my freshman year, but then transferred to Mount St. Joe my sophomore and junior year.
Oh, so you came to our side of town.
Pinky out.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, pretty much, like, you know, I like, because, like, my uncle who died when I was in middle school, he was gonna, like, pay for it and stuff for me to go to St. Joe, but he died, so my dad did what he could to, like, get me to St. Joe for those 2 years. But after those 2 years, I had to transfer back to Howard because we couldn't afford it anymore.
Dude, yeah. That fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I'm sorry if anybody's listening. Mount St. Joe is a bunch of douchebags.
It's a bunch of douchebags.
I went to Catonsville, so fuck Mount St.
Holy
Joe.
But
when
fuck,
I but when I went
bags.
To St. Joe, man, I hung out with some cool ass dudes, man. I hung out with, like, these.
Hey, even
like,
a blind pig finds an acorn, man.
These strange ass, like, Anne Arundel County kids.
They're from all over, and they're all rich. Ugh.
Yeah, they are. They were rich.
So many fucking. I have so many Mount St. Joe interactions. Okay. No. Just I have so many bad experiences with people from Mount St. Joe that I don't want to get into it. Okay, so where are you?
I don't know, but, like, in order for time's sake, you know, I'll try and move on to, like, you know, the grips mm-hmm. of my addiction, you know. So yeah, I went to Mount Manor. That was, like, and I missed, like, so I had a seizure on the second day of being back at Howard, like, in school. Ooh. And, like, I had no idea that shit was going to happen. I could tell something was going on, and I could tell, like, that's what was going to happen. I remember going to the nurse's office and being like, yeah, I'm about to have a seizure. And they're like, okay, just sit down. And I'm like, no, I'm, like, literally about to have a seizure.
Now, are we talking about, like, a blackout seizure or, like, grand mal?
Blackout seizure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Have you ever had a seizure from, like, benzo withdrawal?
I have not. I didn't take them often enough like it was never like a dependence thing with me.
Yeah, you,
like,
have to hit dependence really to.
No, maybe like at most twice a week.
Like at school,
I would get a Zanzibar, you know.
Yeah, yeah, man. Like my they sent me straight to Mount Manor and got out of there immediately. Because, like, they got rid of all my prescriptions, but my mom still prescribed Valium, and I immediately, like, took some of her Valium when I got out, started smoking weed again. It was, like, no chance I was going to, like, actually stop doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you know, I veered away from, like, going to hard shit for a while until my friend decided to cop, like, 1,000 Xanax off the deep web or whatever.
Oh, God.
And, you know, have me with him in the car when he went to, like, pick it up from his P.O. box or whatever, and, like...
Oh, no.
Left me alone in the car with the bag of thousands of Xanax, so, and even told me that there was extra in there. So I ended up taking, like, a handful out of there, and
whoa,
that was my journey back to Xanax. And then, like, yes, and then, like, the local drug dealers had, like, infinite Xanax, so I became, like, the plugs bitch, and, like, just getting Xanax, and, you know, just infinite, you know, that my whole year that year was just a shit show of doing benzos and trying to stop doing benzos and having seizures and, like, yeah, just withdrawal, not withdrawal, begging my parents to give me Valium so I wouldn't have a seizure, and, like, barely graduated high school, barely. I had to, like, start taking Adderall again, like, to ace my math final in order to graduate, and I did. And, yeah, I remember me and my girlfriend broke up because we got into, like, an argument at like prom or whatever. So my like group of friends kind of ended up dumping me because I got like really fucked up at this like family party they had where everybody was drinking, but like I was also like on, you know, I was on like benzos and shit, and like they found that out later on, and so I kind of got like disowned by all my friends. They kicked me out of the senior week house, man.
What?
Yeah. Oh, those dicks.
Yeah, I know. It was fucking ridiculous.
Those dicks. And did you end up going to senior week?
Yeah, I won anyway and stayed with my Mount St. Joe friends.
Yeah, dude.
Sleep on the floor, bro. Whatever, bro.
Our house was nice in your shitty First Street apartment anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Stayed on the inlet, you Howard turds.
I ended up, the first girl I got with during my, like, Xanax blackout. They also wouldn't sell me enough drugs, so I'd be okay the whole senior week. They were, like, my plug was afraid to give me more than, like, 10 or something, so I ended up taking them all in, like, the first day or two.
God damn.
And it really sucked, so I spent, like, all of senior week, like, withdrawing with, like, this girl that was just, like, giving me hand jobs, like, the whole time. And I was like, all right, well, she likes me even though I'm withdrawing from Xanax. Like, I'll date her.
What? And like, what? Wait, what? What? What the fuck is that logic, dude?
That is amazing.
No. I mean, it's a rebound. I broke up with my girlfriend of 3 years.
Great hand jobs.
Were they good? Were they good hand jobs?
Yeah, they're good.
There you go. That's great. Who doesn't like a good handy?
And I started, you know, because like, yeah, my whole life was different. All my friends weren't my friends anymore because of the whole senior week thing. And
God, it's like the first time so many relationships ruined on senior weeks.
Yeah,
so many.
And so I was seeing this girl, but like, yeah, eventually, like about halfway through the relationship, like a month or two in, I started like doing benzos hard again. Like it just was this like constant like cycle of just like not doing benzos. And then, like, as soon as I get the opportunity to do them again, I just, like,
yeah, go on them hard. You were just going on just these peaks and valleys of just absolutely nuking your brain chemistry. And then, okay, I'm not going to do this for a while, which is not good either. Like, oh, my God.
I remember by the end of our relationship, we went away somewhere for a weekend. And I did all the Xanax I had the first day we were there, and by like the last day I like had a bunch of seizures. And like this is like, you know, I've had 9 Xanax withdrawal seizures, you know,
throughout. So how old are you at that point?
18.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And that was messed up. And yeah, we ended up breaking up, and you know, I, like, went to Howard Community College, like, after high school, but I ended up dropping out of all my classes because I was just withdrawing from benzos all the time.
Yeah.
And, then started my, like, conscious, like, degenerate life of, like, living with my parents, smoking weed, and, like, because they didn't give a fuck what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just completely, like, yeah, like, knowingly destroying my life. And I was like, yeah, like, we're going to dive into this. And I don't know. It took maybe, like, a year. Like, I remember when I was 19 was when I went back to treatment. Went to Ashley.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did, like, a bunch of IOPs and stuff in the midst of this. Like,
oh, no, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, before, but like, you know, I went to inpatient again when I was, like, 19. Went to Ashley. Knew I wanted to get my shit together, but I don't know exactly what I wanted. I just knew I needed to get a treatment.
Can I ask you a question about Ashley? What'd you think of the food?
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's great, right?
Yeah, like, the food is ridiculous. It's amazing food that they have there.
Like, they had, like, steak night every Thursday and shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, just to let you guys know, the food in Howard County Detention Center is terrible.
That sucks.
Really not good.
You should have gone to Ashley.
Damn. I should have.
See, that should be their tagline.
Ashley's better than jail. Okay, cool.
Continue.
So, yeah, like, that was just, like, yeah, like, I did not, like, the main thing was, like, they wanted me to, like, go to, like, all the shit, like, after,
Oh, Delray? They were trying to get you to go to Delray?
Not Delray, but they just wanted me to, like, do some sort of, like, extended care, like, extra house thing. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this didn't come. This is bullshit. Like, you're trying to, like, send me to, like, another thing? Like,
they always do that. And they try to send you to Florida. They send people to Florida, like, a fucking lot.
Yeah, I, like, did not. Yeah, I was not with that. I refused that and convinced everybody to, like, not, like, anything to not do that. And
yes.
Yeah, totally ended up... I remember meeting up with my friends when I got out and smoking weed, and I don't know when I started doing benzos again, but it happened pretty fast, and seizures happened again. I don't really know when they happened, but I just kept having them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the seizures are fucking traumatizing as shit. Like, that's like...
you can die, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I always thought I was gonna die, and, like, yeah, I had, you know, that... Like, just, like, the feeling of when it was happening. Like, I still have, like... So, like, I still take anticonvulsants.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, I'm just, like, terrified of having a seizure. My mom's an epileptic, too. And, like... Yeah, like that. Even like in the beginning,
you were just you were just flamethrowering your brain cells.
Well,
for years,
like, like medically checked that though? Like if you're epileptic, like
Well, in order to do that, they want to put you in a machine that like flashes a bunch of lights
to potentially induce a seizure.
Yeah, so it's like I've been putting that one off as long as
fair.
I can.
That's fair.
Yeah,
but because, like, honestly, I feel like early on, too, like, when you're getting clean, like, you can't really know for sure either, like, what's, like, long-lasting.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, definitely, like, health things should, you know, if it is something that's possible.
Keep that on the radar.
Yeah.
That's scary, dude.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, if your mom, like, shit.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, I went to Ashley again. It was, like, the two times a year. Discount or whatever, half off the second time.
Really? They have that?
That's sure they do.
I'm surprised you don't know about that, Eric.
I didn't go back, dude. I went to Seattle. Remember? That was where I went. That was my next treatment center.
And this time I took some suggestions and like lived in Bel Air, Maryland, at this Maryland recovery program for like 3 or 4 months. And that's when I started going to actual meetings. Well, actually, no. I think before this, I've been to, like, meetings at the Serenity Center. But, like, I didn't think twice about them. Like, but this was the first time I actually, like, went a lot. And, like every day. And, like, started to absorb the shit. And there were AA meetings out in Bel Air. Like, the man house.
Because there's Ashley.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, you know, again, like, I mean, looking back on it now, like, I think I wanted to stay clean in the beginning, but, like, as long as, like, I didn't have, like, things protecting me from myself, like, drug tests or whatever, like, long-term shit, like, protecting me from myself, like, my brain will work its way into, like, having, like, acting on a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's what happened. I moved back home again. Because, like, that was always a big thing. I was like, yeah, I can't move out of my parents' house because I need to be there to take care of my mom. And, like, yeah, that, like, kept me from, like, getting my shit together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, like, I kind of got my shit together this time. I mean, I relapsed as soon as I got out, but, I don't know how I got my shit together, but for, like, the next year and a half until, like, the pandemic, I, like, was only smoking weed and, like, wasn't doing benzos, and I, like, legitimately felt better, happier, like, started dating people again, and, like, all the signs of, like, someone's life getting better, like, were happening in my life. That's when I started teaching special ed.
What?
And, like, all this stuff. Yeah, like, my friend got me a job, like, you know, teaching special ed for a summer, and then I, like, applied to do it full-time during the school year. And did that, and that's what I still do. I still do that.
That's like a weird curveball.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it was like, I didn't, you know.
That's the universe throwing you a bone, buddy.
Yeah, man, it was cool. And, the pandemic happened. I was dating this girl. She was crazy. She ended up moving in. And because the pandemic happened, like, what else are you going to do? And I was making like shit tons of money from unemployment, and by the end of our relationship, like, you know, she was driving me crazy, and I ended up like breaking and like buying, like, I was like, yeah, you have enough money to do this now, like, you can be the drug dealer. And like I started getting like crazy amounts of like Xanax, sold it for a while. Yeah, like it was crazy, and then like then the research benzos come in.
Scary stuff.
You know, I like started living with this dude that I went to St. Joe with. And just like sleeping on his couch. And he was on benzo, like the research benzos, and we were just in research benzo heaven together.
Dude, that stuff's crazy though.
Like, yeah.
I did a deep dive into that a few months ago, and it's just there's hundreds of them.
Yeah,
like,
there is.
And I was reading about them, like, this has like a week-long half-life? Like, what the fuck? That's like crazy.
I know. So how did clazepam, man.
So how did you finally crash and burn and start your 2 years?
Alright, so yeah, like, well, I got my shit together, like, well, not that time around, and went to, like, shit got really, really bad again, where I was taking, like, crazy amounts of benzos, the research benzos. My life is going to shit. And then I went to a detox facility on New Year's 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And really wanted to get clean, but the only thing that happened was, like, yeah, during the time I was in this IOP, I just didn't have enough of layers of protection, you know, to keep me for myself. Mm-hmm. So my brain, like, was alone for too long, and it figured out how to, like, act on a reservation to, like, start smoking weed when I got out of that IOP thing. And then a few months after that, I, like, found a way to get research benzos again. And, like, that shit happened fast, because, like, when I was, like, working a full-time job, like, teaching and, like, doing that, like, it turned into, like, yeah, it didn't matter if I was eating, it didn't matter if I was sleeping. Like, as long as, like, I could sleep for an hour and just wake up and take more benzos and I'll feel wide awake. And, yeah, so I was taking, like, you know, 60 milligrams of Edazolam a day.
Exactly. What the fuck is that, you know?
It's like, well, the equivalency is pretty much 30 milligrams of Xanax. 60
Holy shit!
So I was, like, legit taking, like, because, like, I would go to, like, rehab and shit, and, like, people would exaggerate numbers like that all the time. Yeah, but, like, I was legitimately, like, getting these giant, like, bottles of liquid shit, and, like, in a span of 2 months, I went from doing normal amounts to doing, like, 60 milligrams of this shit a day. And, yeah, I completely lost my mind towards the end. I had this, like, crazy psychosis-type experience thing where I thought all my coworkers were trying to kill me. I thought the world was ending. And this is because I wasn't sleeping or eating and taking crazy high quantities of shit that I had never taken that much of before.
Holy fuck, dude. Like,
and,
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real, dude. I, like, it's crazy that I say that, and it's, like, real because, like, you hear people really exaggerate the quantities of, like, their benzo usage all the time, but, like, it really took me to a point, like, towards the end where, like, wow, I was actually doing that exaggerated amount, like, and it was insane.
Well, if you get into those, like, the RCs, I mean, like, that shit is just so fucking wild.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can just keep riding it up, dude.
Milligrams, holy fuck.
There's a shit called clonazolam, dude, where you're just blacked out for, like, a day or two. Like, it's, like, insane.
Oh my god.
And
we're happy you're here.
Yeah Holy real shit, dude.
So how did you get clean?
Yeah, well, all right, so I went to you know, after thinking my parents were gonna kill me and all this shit because of a psychosis thing, I decided, like, all right, we'll feel safe in rehab. So I voluntarily went to rehab. So with my psychotic delusions at the time, I thought that my parents were dead. So, like, I started being able to think for myself for once, and I was like, all right, well, you're not dead, so, like, what will we do? And I, like, was like, all right, recovery house, all the things I need to do to protect myself, buy me enough time. And I started going to meetings every day, got a sponsor. I knew all the things I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I just, like, fully surrendered. I was like, yeah, like, the psychosis part scared me. You know, I literally thought I was going to die. Like I was fully convinced and just about accepted that, like, that this one weekend was the end of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't die, so, like, yeah, I committed to living, and so I did all the things I knew I had to do to live.
That might be a title, dude. I committed to living.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's a good title.
And yeah, like, and literally, like, I just went to meetings and got a sponsor and, like, did all the shit. Like, I had my IOP groups, Glass House or whatever. That was, like, a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But like the meetings were like a bigger part, and yeah, like I don't know, I just kept doing that, and you know, one of the biggest things for me was like I always thought like, you know, I was never gonna get my brain power back again. Like I fucked up my brain from chemicals so much, and you know, but this last time I just kind of like just threw all of it out the window and was like, yeah, man, you don't have PTSD, you don't have like any of these like diagnosed conditions, like we're just not gonna think about that shit anymore and go about it as if you don't have them. Because like once I finally started doing that, I was able to truly see what I could and couldn't control about like PTSD, like what was really there and like what my brain was just anticipating because it was what had been there before. Because
mm-hmm.
like if you have that shit and like are aware of like your triggers and whatnot, you will literally just start to anticipate, you know, it's like you'll never grow from them because like, you know, your brain anticipates like where they were, you know, and you'll never notice the times when they're not there anymore. Because like, yeah, that's just the way that shit works when you're trying to like run your own shit, you know, micromanage your own conditions. And yeah, like I just stayed clean. I don't know. I just stayed clean, man. And like when I didn't have hope that it was going to get better, like I just kept doing it anyway. I don't know. Like there really wasn't anything to it other than like, yeah, like I am completely surrendered. I'm not calling the shots anymore. Like, you know, like I don't want to die. Like,
yeah,
I just didn't want to die. I wasn't ready to die and I didn't die. So like, yeah, like and like there was, you know, probably a lot more thought to it early on, but like I don't know, I'm not there anymore. And like I do know now that like you know, anything that I thought I lost for good, I can gain back in recovery, you know, brain wise or like experience wise, brain chemistry, happiness wise. Like I know it's just gonna take time and
yep,
working the steps. Because the thing with the steps is, like, shit, like, I'll do that shit, and, like, you know, it'll just, like, I'll see something I hadn't seen before, and, like, if it doesn't actually, like, get my brain working again, like, it at least, like, allows me to believe that it can.
Yeah.
And, like, so one way or another, like, it just, like, brings you back to life, I don't know, like, whether it's from, like, just believing in it, or, like, from like doing the, whether it's like from like healing from the actual like work you do in the steps, like shit you learn or whatever, or spiritual growth, I don't know, it just works. Like yeah it just works, like because yep. like there's just like many ways like you can work, whether it's like, yeah, like those, the, yeah, it doesn't have to be spiritual, it's like a mental, physical, what do they say? It's like mentally,
mind, body, and spirit, man.
Mental, physical, and spiritual, like condition or whatever, like being an addict. So it's like either mentally, it can find a way to get you better mentally. It can find a way to get you better physically. It can find a way to get you better spiritually. You mm-hmm. know, like it doesn't need like all of those things in order to like start getting better. It can just be one of those things
mm-hmm.
to like, you know, get you started. Like physical, I guess, is like the main thing, because like
I'm not having seizures anymore.
Yeah, like literally, yep. like that's all, it's like all you need is one of those things, like
yep.
And I don't know if like hearing that is what like some people need to like get better. I mean, I know I needed like tangible evidence, you know, in yep. order to like take a step.
Yep.
Because like that's some shit I just don't need anymore, like,
and yeah,
when I'm trying to like, you know, give a message to other people, like I'm always trying to think about it that way, like, oh, what did I need to hear? Like, but yeah, like sometimes there really just isn't anything to say. I mean, like, you know, it sucks hearing all the cliches and shit, but like yeah. once you've done the step work, it's like, yeah, that's like the best possible way to like describe the actual, like,
yeah, they make shit. sense, they're just annoying.
Yeah. And yeah, sometimes it feels really dumb. I mean, like I'm starting to like see you know, the addiction in other people that, like, you know, for instance, like, for years, I was just, like, using, like, the most traumatic events in my life as, like, a reason as to, like, why I couldn't get better. Like, oh, like this is why, like, I need to use drugs. Like, mm-hmm. because, like,
oh, yeah.
this horrible shit happened to me and I can't unsee it. And, like, you know, and I would just throw that shit out conveniently. And I had no idea because, like, yeah, all I could think about was the pain from that.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, I still see people go through that shit all the time, you know, like, where, like, they're just, like, not at all aware of, like, the fact that, like, they're, it's literally just, like, trying to find a reason. It's because there's not the surrender isn't there.
Yep.
And, or they've started the process of, like, surrender or whatever, but they're just kind of, like, you know, the addiction, the disease hasn't given up, man. It's like finding whatever angle it can, you know, and oftentimes the most common angle, I think, is taking like real life traumatic events, like usually types of like injustice.
Oh, dude, trauma is
and it, stuff is and
huge.
Yeah. Like, in like, it huge. Sucks because like you can't really debate it. And like, you know, your brain knows that. Like,
no, because it's I mean, it's all subjective to the individual.
Yeah.
Like, you nitpicking and trying to quantify levels of trauma from individual to individual, it's just it's a losing game for both people. There's either minimalization or you know, overblowing, and it's just ridiculous.
So, yeah.
All right, man, well, we definitely have some questions for you, and I'm gonna defer to Eric because I think he has some spectacular questions.
I don't know, I mean, I kind of asked a lot of them,
like, do you want me to go?
Boring.
I can go.
But go ahead, you go first,
Dave. All right, I'm going to start with a fun question, because that was heavy, man.
Yeah.
I love you, but, like, that's fucking crazy. I haven't heard that much. You are a very big cinephile, as both of us are as well.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pick a favorite movie.
A favorite movie.
Yeah, do top five.
I could do genres, like...
Okay, give me three. Give me three movies that are just, you know, I can watch these, and they're always great. Not necessarily greatest movies, favorite movies.
Beetlejuice.
Interesting.
Good answer. Yeah. Solid.
I don't know. I was just talking about that yesterday. So
Beetlejuice is a solid answer,
but
man.
Like, I feel like I could watch that like whenever.
Absolutely. You know? Yes.
I don't know. I used to say like David Lynch type stuff, but I've kind of gotten sick of the Lynch shit.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, sometimes it feels like too weird for the sake of being weird. Like, it's not like...
What the fuck is Twin Peaks season 3?
It's just...
that shit, man.
Complexity just for the sake of complexity. It loses itself.
By the way, I don't know if I told you guys, but I literally got to go to the real-life Double R Diner few weeks ago. Like, the real-life Double R Diner, and I saw the waterfall.
Dude, have you talked to Donnie about that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I texted him.
Okay. Because, I mean, he'll lose his
Donnie
shit,
creamed
dude.
In his pants, I'm sure.
Yeah, I bet he's like, have you watched the 4.5-hour documentary?
Twin Peaks? Yeah, they talked to me about that.
Did they talk to you?
Do they play Rush in Twin Peaks? Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Okay, so Beetlejuice, what else you got?
I feel like I gotta say a Cronenberg movie.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Because like Cronenberg's definitely like one of my fucking
Cronenberg's
favorites.
Fantastic.
Like he's awesome.
You like the body horror?
Yeah.
Definitely. Like I feel like it's just so like I don't know. It's like a very specific.
He's very
like,
one of a kind.
I do like
Morty
turned everyone.
I love the Evil Dead movies too. Like I feel like it kind of crosses over.
Yes,
into it.
Gotta
like,
get.
I recently started to see.
So
that
you have two more. We have Beetlejuice. What else?
Shit, man. I don't. That's
whatever jumps out.
What's like my favorite fucking Cronenberg movie? I don't know. Like. like what the hell is
The Fly?
I mean, The Fly's great, but like that's like too classic-y. I'll say you know, James Woods, man. You know, fucking the James Woods one.
Oh, Videodrome?
Yeah, Videodrome.
Videodrome's fantastic. Videodrome, yeah, man. We talked about Videodrome. Videodrome great movie. Man. Great movie. And number 3?
Number 3. Let's see. Fucking, I don't know. I really like Wes Anderson movies. Like, they're funny shit.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'll say just Bottle Rocket just for now. I mean, like, what? They're so...
Okay.
You're going Bottle Rocket.
Because, like, of just the fucking scene where, like, they're just, like, arguing in the end. Like, when they're, like, fucking robbing, like... I mean, I would probably go, like, I mean, like, in terms of, like, actual best, you know, movie.
Best Wes Anderson movie.
Best Wes Ooh. Anderson movie? That's a tough question.
I love The Life Aquatic, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, like, that, that's such an underrated one, man.
Life Aquatic is so good.
I feel like that Sea George is playing, like, Bowie in the background.
Yes.
Sway Jorge.
Yeah, we'll go with that one, man, just because the soundtrack, like, completes
it's so
it, man.
Good. It's so good.
And Bill Murray, just, like, that character that he plays in every single Wes Anderson movie. Like,
yes. That I think, is the pinnacle of it.
Yeah. I think I like Murray the best in Rushmore, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why. The Tenenbaums, too, like, those were weird movies.
Tenenbaums is so dry.
I liked Fantastic Mr. Fox a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Really?
I'm so upset that I haven't
seen it. Really? It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I know
it's worth it.
Oh, I know it's good. Yeah.
Dude, it's definitely worth it, though. Like, it's like an individual experience.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's
sure.
Definitely.
Dude, Wes Anderson is great.
George Clooney, yeah. Like, Jason Schwartzman's character in that movie is hilarious.
Oh, my God,
like,
yeah.
It's like the son.
Yeah, man.
I also fucking love Coen Brothers movies.
Oh, Coen Brothers are great.
Yep. Yeah, like, I love, like, I mean, The Big Lebowski. Oh, yeah, I should have said The Big Lebowski.
Oh, Lebowski's solid.
What about Barton?
Oh, Barton Fink is great, man.
Fargo is amazing.
Yeah, Fargo. One of the ones that, like, I've loved more than anything, too, is the fucking gangster one that they made. I'm trying to remember what the fuck it's called.
Oh fuck.
Gangster one? No, not Fargo?
Not, like, it was made in, like, 1993. Gabriel Byrne.
It's not The Usual Suspects.
No.
That's not Coen Brothers.
The Hudsucker Proxy.
Not that. It's the one that he made before that.
It's not Raising Arizona. Barton Fink was before that.
Yeah.
Miller's Crossing?
Yeah, Miller's Crossing.
Mm. Huh.
That movie's so fucking good.
Okay.
That's one of their first movies.
I'm going to have to give it another watch.
Yeah, I love that movie.
All right. Well, we've digressed. What do you got, Eric? Now that my fun question is out of the way.
Not in, like, movies. Like, but, yeah, dude. Oh, man. God, Benzos.
Yeah.
Like, I think they might be, like, I mean, yeah, you're always like, fentanyl and carfentanil and all that shit, but, like,
please ask me shit about benzos. I've beaten that shit to death, dude. I've talked so much about that shit, like, nonstop for the past few years before and after getting clean. Like, I don't even know. I feel like I finally got it out of my system where, like, I don't even know what to say about them anymore.
Like, it's just wild that, like,
how are they I understand they have therapeutic or medicinal,
there's definitely medicinal
value,
yeah.
But also, like, the side effects.
It's really bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess...
Dude, they killed my cousin. That's what my cousin OD'd on. It was fucking...
Well, wasn't he also taking, like methadone? Like, or...
I don't think so.
No? Okay. My friend, one of my best friends died from methadone and Xanax.
Oh, God. Mm. Yeah, because they interact with so many things.
Yeah. They're bad news bears, but...
I was always very careful about mixing it with anything. Like, I would never mix my benzos with opiates or anything like that.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what are you doing to kind of get your, you know... Because you're doing the mental stuff, right, with recovery.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a physical part to this, too, when you take that much
drugs. Yeah.
So what are you doing to kind of, you know, get back to where you were before?
I mean, I guess just fucking the biggest part of that is just not acting on, like, giving up. Like, because, like, I like, not isolating, not fucking, like, acting. Like, I have to keep acting as if it's, like, not there. Like, because, like, it's to me, it's, like, the only way to make it better is because, like, it's literally just time and, like, mm-hmm. doing things and brain exercise. Like, it's like, and I do have, like, some serious, like, neck and, like, back problems from, like, all the seizures I had. Like, you know, I always wake up every day with, like, neck pain and stuff like that. And, like,
have you seen a chiropractor?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. And, like,
my chiropractor's fantastic.
I got x-rays and everything.
Okay.
Like, Apparently everything's structurally sound. But yeah, I think there's some pinched nerve or something. You're like, I have no idea.
Well, you also have acid in your spinal fluid, so don't forget that.
Dude, true that, man. But yeah, I don't know. I just know, like, the more I think about it, the more it becomes, like, a weapon against myself. Like, the physical stuff, like, the damage I've done. Like, I do have, like, moments where, like, that's what gets me really down. Like, and I lose hope. But, like, it's counterproductive. Like,
yeah.
And, like, you know, all, like, the amount I think of it, like, there's nothing I could do to make it go away entirely. And, like, yeah, it's, like, horrible that, like, there's not really, like, an answer for that. You know, that was, like, my biggest reason why, like, you know, I couldn't get better. Like, or I said I couldn't get better was because, like, of that. And, like, there being, like, seemingly no answer to, like, all, like, the damage that shit does to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's all this, like, energy and attention and, like, knowledge about, like, opiates and stuff like that. But it really doesn't seem
like benzos are much about benzos. Benzos are very new.
Because, like, when I would ever, that was, like, a thing in, like, detoxes and treatment places where, like, they would fuck up my shit, like, and I would, like, have a seizure in the rehab, and I would try to tell them, like, yeah, like, this isn't right, like, I shouldn't come off it this soon. Like, it was definitely, like, there was, like, so much negligence, you know, because of the way, like, it is with opiates, like, it's so common for people.
Dude, we've been dealing with opiates for hundreds of years.
And, like, if you work in a treatment facility, you're so used to, like, people coming up to you, like, complaining about withdrawals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, they're like, shit, like, you know, just push it out, man. Like, just, you know, it's going to be hard. And, like, just
literally, fucking, you're able to shit now. Go push it out.
Yeah. And, like, But, like, yeah, like, it's not the same as opiates, like...
No.
Because, like, yeah, that was something for me. I was literally fearing that I was going to die from the seizures.
Yeah.
You know, regularly. Well, it's
benzos and alcohol, they say, are the most lethal of the comedowns. For
withdrawal, yeah.
For withdrawals, yes.
Ugh. Yeah, man, alcohol withdrawal, like...
I've never really seen benzo withdraw that much, just because, like, I wasn't around.
It,
like,
wasn't around as much when we were
no
kids.
Like, I honestly didn't know the whole not mixing bet. Like, I would snort
you shouldn't snort benzos,
dude. I would snort a Xanax with an Oxy together.
It was
recklessly stupid.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. Like, I wasn't like you, Eric. Like, Eric, like, he researched shit. I didn't research a goddamn thing. Because the less I knew, the better. Because I was like, if I don't know what this, fuck it.
No.
I knew about heroin. Well, because, dude, when I know too much, then my conscience will talk me out of it. And I was like, I don't fucking care. I hate myself.
Right.
Yeah, but I was like, I hate myself. I don't care what this is going to do. Huh. But I knew what heroin was going to do, so I was like, I'm going to like it, and I'm going to die.
I think with that, I just, like, I think the one belief that, like, changes stuff like that for me is, like, you know, I know somewhere in my brain I believe that there's, like, a way to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and, like...
Good, like, and bad.
Yeah, yep. Like, so, like, that's why I would do my due diligence on, like, knowing everything there is to know about, like, what I'm doing and shit.
Which is smart,
like,
using.
I believe, I guess I believe that, like, there was never a point where I needed to say fuck it, you know? There is always,
I said fuck it.
Yeah.
That was my story, was fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck it and burn it down. Fuck it and burn it down. That was my shit. All right.
I think we're...
What?
Where are we at?
I can ask one more question.
All right.
One more question. All right. It's got to be a good one. Got to be a good one. All right. You are young in recovery, man. You're 24.
24.
Wow. So you got clean at 22, which is fucking awesome. This is going to be a combo question, but we'll see how we can do with it. How has it been comparing in? Because you actually, like, we were actually just talking about this right before you came. Like, there's actually a good crop of young people in the area right now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It hasn't been like that since we all came in.
So, has it been difficult? Because, I mean, I'm a decade older than you, dude. Like, my...
And we came in almost a decade.
Yeah, I came in 10 years...
We did come in over
9 years before
we're
you, yeah.
We're fucking old, dude.
Yeah. So, like, how has it been, like, comparing in? Because a lot of people are older than you. How grateful are you to be young in recovery? And what are your goals for your life and your recovery? That was a lot.
Yeah. No, I mean.
So, comparing in, gratitude,
I feel
and
like,
goals.
I feel like comparing in is something, like, I don't really do. I can just get kind of, like, irritated sometimes because, like, people, like, think they need to talk to me differently because of how young I am compared to them. Yeah.
Fuck those people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that, do I?
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't.
I was like, I don't think I do.
No, it's the old timers problem.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't even know. Like, people who, like, feel like they need to differentiate in order to feel like they've grown or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, that, I mean, that shit just can be annoying because, like, it puts me in the mode where I feel like I have to, like, explain myself again, like, why, you know, and, yeah, like, it's annoying, and it plays into, like, my, like, cynical outlook of, like, you know, nitpicking, like, it, like, psychologically analyzing people,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, just like
who's who in recovery, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, you know, but as far as like, you know, a universal, like, comparing in, like, that's something I probably could do, but I don't do it all anymore because, like, there's just a lot of shit. There's a lot of shit that, like I just stopped doing, and, like, I don't think I get any satisfaction from, like, doing it, but it's definitely, like, a total, like, yeah, I just block it out. Like,
yeah, you just know in your heart that you belong here.
Yeah, like, it's like,
that's,
if I thought about
lot,
it at
that's
all,
a way better way to go about it.
Yeah, if I thought about it at all, I would start, like, comparing and stuff like that, but, like, yeah, I definitely, like, being in...
That's probably,
like,
the best answer I've ever heard.
Blocking it all out is, like, kind of the only way to just not,
yeah, that's just staying
entirely
in your own lane. Yeah.
And I know, like, it's something I'll feel great about, like, later.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And, like, most of my recovery, it's shit I'm going to feel good about later.
Mm-hmm. So what about the gratitude for your youth in recovery? The reason I asked that, because, I mean, I was 25. Eric was right around the same age. So we were right around the same time.
I was 24.
But, like, Hoppy and Herb, and Jack, like, they're in their 30s, 40s, whatever. They're like, and they're like, man, I wish I had gotten young a year ago.
Yeah.
They're like, gotten recovery when I was young. So, like, what do you think about that?
I don't know if it's something I can, like, fathom. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's something, like, at least right now, it's not really something I can, like, it's just too much for my brain to take in. Like,
yeah.
You know, I need to, like, be me and, like, and, like, I think, like, when I try it, like, that, like, I already do enough of trying to put myself in other people's positions, you know,
mm-hmm.
in order to, like, empathize or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, like, something I definitely, like, I don't know. It only hurts me to do that.
Yeah.
Like, at least with, like, the tools I have right now. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I definitely am great. I know I'm grateful. Like I say, I'm grateful, and I know I'll feel more grateful about it later on.
Yeah.
But, like, as of right now, it's like, yeah,
it
I feel like there's not really any positive way to, like, go about it in my own head for me with that stuff. Like, that won't just, like, turn into, like, that's, like, something my disease or addiction could take a hold of easily and, like, manipulate and turn into something that I could use against myself, you know?
Yeah. And now you're.
I don't know how my brain knows what pathways my shit will take in order to do that. Like, but, like, yeah, like, that's, like, another one where I just don't think about it. Like, I block it out in order to, like, for my own benefit. And, like, I don't know how my brain just, like, can figure out, like, what things, like, I need to block out in order to, like, not, like, add more weaponry to, like, hurt myself with.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it just does, man. I don't know. It's cool.
And then the final part, your goals in life and recovery.
I don't know. I mean, my big thing in the beginning was I wanted to do something with music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to actually be able to pursue music. But I don't know if that's what I want to do anymore because of the fucking douchebag Steve, man, who tried to fucking, like...
Oh, yeah.
He just, you know...
Steve H? Like, fucking...
Yep.
That asshole?
Yep.
He's still around?
He, We'll talk about that in a minute.
That's the dude I'm thinking about, right? Like
100%. Absolutely. You are right on. Yes.
I have a virus that is going to be with me forever.
Oh my God.
And it starts with an H. It's like, Steve, fuck you. You don't have HIV. You have herpes, you fucking asshole. Okay? What the fuck is this bullshit?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, when I was there, like, because it's like a recovery, his thing is like a recovery center for artists or whatever, and like...
He has a recovery center for...
We'll talk about it
later. We're going to talk about it off air.
Yeah.
So, your goals, and so it wasn't... It's not music.
I guess some, like, and it's just to, like, be happy and, like, live the life that, like, I don't know, all the things that, like, I wonder and hope for, like, you know, like... In terms of like people just being able to experience that true harmony again, you know, I guess like being able to find a career that like that doesn't make me want to kill myself or I earn a good amount of money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Cause like the music thing, I was pretty dead set on the music thing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw it like wreck other people. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like,
dude, it's hard to be
it's very hard.
Like,
it's
very like, hard. I mean, I relapsed in Chicago when I went to do music.
Yeah. Like, that's what kept happening to me over and over again.
Cause you're in that life, right? And it's like, you gotta stay up late cause that's when everyone else is fucking doing this shit.
Uh-huh.
It's just not normal.
Yeah. There's no 9 a.m. fucking concerts.
I mean, like, it would be like this every single time. I would, like, make music. Like, I would, like, record. Like, I would get out of treatment, like, make a few songs, and then, like, run out of creative juices and, like, know that, like, yeah, just fucking relapse on benzos and you'll come up with some more shit, like, just like that. Like, I would hit a creative block. Like, everybody hits a creative block at some point.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I just couldn't take it. And, like, yeah, I kept relapsing. And, yeah, like, because of that.
All right.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, we would like to thank our guest, Alex, for joining us today.
Yay!
Yeah.
One quick minute. What do you have to say to anybody who needs to hear a message of strength, hope, or just whatever? What do you have to say directly to them? Short and sweet.
What was the thing I said earlier?
Committed to living.
Committed to living, man. Yeah. I don't know. Like, just fucking, like, choose life, you know?
Yeah.
Choose life. Like, I don't know. We don't get to choose whether or not we live or die, you know? No matter how badly I wanted to die, like, I couldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, if you're using because you think, like, you're inevitably just gonna die, like... I don't know. If you thought about getting clean, if you thought about stopping, like,
give it a shot, man.
Yeah, like I don't know, man.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Everyone's
I'm all messaged out, dude. The past like week, you know, I've been celebrating.
Tour,
yeah, exactly. I've been on the tour.
Well, you're tapped out.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're about to celebrate. Come share our meat, man.
Yeah,
you're on the circuit. All right. Well, here at Podcast Recovery, we're aiming to expand the scope of support for recovering addicts. Accessibility and convenience of helpful services is paramount to combating addiction. We work to bring the message of recovery to every addict, wherever and whenever it is needed. We believe that a powerful voice of recovery should be obtainable, practical, and at the touch of a button. Every addict deserves to hear a message of hope, and Podcast Recovery is here to provide it. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us once again. Go to all our social media outlets, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, for more information about us. Go to podcastrecovery.com. Please join our Patreon and help keep the mics on because we are self-supporting. Most importantly, everybody out there, Eric, if you'll help me.
Stay safe and stay clean.